Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery, code Wondery.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome to the Rose Podcast number 623. Gents, guys.
Hostful intro? What is this?
I like the hostful intros.
Me too. It's fun.
The hostful intros are really fun.
It is fun.
More hostfuls. I think we've done more hostfuls this in the past couple weeks than we did for the last 6 months of last
year. We've heard the demands.
Two.
We're taking
two.
Yes, two, Matt. Two.
Yes. yeah, definitely. It's fun, but that show is it's great. It's
you
great.
Like it? Okay,
yeah,
good.
I'm looking forward to it.
I was complimenting you on your hyperlapse films that you were putting on Instagram from your trip to New Orleans.
Thanks.
Looked
yeah,
real
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, gotta love that stabilizer.
How was Nala?
God damn, if that isn't. I was just telling Matt all about it. I've never been such a beautiful city. It reminds me of kind of like a southern Boston where it still has like all its old buildings and all like this kind of port, you know, old port culture.
Yeah.
But more friendly, right?
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Everyone was really awesome. It was just so fucking beautiful. Like everywhere. It was so rad. You've been there a ton of times, I imagine.
Yes. Yeah. No, actually, no. To New Orleans? No, I have not, actually.
Really?
Yes. I don't know why I said yes, because...
You're just yes-anding. You're being a good host.
Every city.
I've been to every city, so I'm like, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah, but there's a great comedy scene down there. There's the New Movement Theater, which has a place there, and in Austin. And they're like just like it's a you know stand-up / improv and sketch class theater.
Excellent.
And it's a cool scene, and it's a great place.
Now, this is since the intro. Is there anything you want to promote really fast over here?
Just buy My Ray and the Highway on the iTunes.
You,
you know,
you
if you feel like you're missing me and Jonah, which you're probably not because you're listening to us right now, get My Ray and the Highway.
Totally different set of shenanigans, though, and you guys should do more of those on the road this year.
Oh, outside of doing a Live Nerdist at the... we should say
SFS.
Yes!
So we're doing a Live Nerdist on the 6th.
No, it's six. Is it the 6th or the 7th?
It's whatever the Friday is.
First Friday of February. So sketchfest.
Bummer we didn't look any of this stuff before we started talking.
We're also doing a live Jonah Radio. Our guest is we're going to be doing it again at the Lost Weekend Video.
Yep.
One of our guests that we booked is Paul Myers.
Nice!
Yeah, so Paul's going to come. He's a really awesome musician and music writer. I really love reading the stuff he's written.
10 p.m.
And brother of Mike Myers.
Brother of Mike Myers.
Yeah,
10 p.m. on February 6th, Nerdist Podcast. It's Sketchfest.
Sketchfest, yeah. February 6th. Okay, so that's good.
Yeah, and if
yeah,
you're...
So then that generated, I think, is February 7th. That's the next Saturday. And then we're doing the Meltdown the weekend before that. A couple of shows. But the Jonah Radio, Hutch Harris from the Thermals will be coming... He might bring some music stuff and people with him.
Cool. Very cool. And then we're going to be doing a very special... oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. That's right. Well, it's going to get filled up.
I know, but we... So we're going to do a special live 5th anniversary podcast, which will basically just be a hostful in front of people at Meltdown.
The only special part of it is that we're inviting you people.
Yes.
Yeah.
I asked Tom Lennon if he could go, but he's going to be, he might be out of town. January 26th. January 26th at Meltdown at night. So tickets will be.
Are you afraid that we can't even fill up Meltdown at this point?
We can fill up Meltdown. Yeah.
I don't know.
I just thought Tom Lennon because first episode.
I don't know if we can fill it up, guys.
You don't think so?
Prove me wrong.
We'll fill it up. So tickets will be at nerdmeltla.com, and so that'll be January 26th.
It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm
5th
really
anniversary.
Looking forward to
and then
it.
The show will get posted February 2nd.
Special surprises planned for you guys.
Yep.
I don't have anything planned.
Scout's shaking in the background and getting
Scout
up on the couch.
Won't be there.
Get off the scouch.
Tickets are going to be $5 for 5 years of free entertainment.
All right. And then so last two things I want to say are that my Fun Comfortable Tour starts this weekend in Seattle and Vancouver, Friday and Saturday, and the following weekend in Portland and Denver. Go to funcomfortabletour.com for tickets. And I'd like to say that this episode, by the way, was Gillian Anderson. I'd never met, so I didn't know what to expect. And she was a fucking blast.
Nice. She was
so
really
funny.
Great.
And
I think she loves me. I'm not.
And she might be in love with Matt. I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure.
Maybe find out yourself.
And this will make sense when you listen to the podcast. But very importantly, hashtag X-Files 2015. So listen to the podcast. Some very interesting things come up.
I wasn't there, so I'm intrigued by
this. Yes, X-Files 2015.
The truth is out there at the end, near in the middle of the podcast.
I cannot wait for the dubstep remix of that theme song.
So
I'm sure it exists.
Thanks, guys, for the hostful intro.
You're
and
very
now
welcome.
Here's the Nerdist Podcast number 623 with Gillian Anderson. Hashtag X-Files 2015.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
She does occasionally snore.
Yeah. Yeah. Snore occasionally.
She snores
and
like
has to
jumps.
Like,
but
she's like the perfect dog.
Yeah.
Do you ever sell her?
No, I'm not going to give her exactly a dog that does nothing.
Hey, yeah. If Jim Anderson wants a dog, you should give her your dog.
Would I be able to ship her to London?
I decided all of a sudden that it was time to get a dog.
We're on the
I became
table.
Obsessed with finding the right dog.
Yeah.
And this is my Google search. Lowest maintenance dog on the planet. And so it turns out that French bulldogs are really low maintenance.
Yeah.
And I found this one that was way the fuck out. I found this dog that had the cutest pictures known to man, sitting in a backseat of a car. And my daughter, who's now 20, and I drive down there on a Friday night in rush hour. It takes us an hour and a half. It's like to some neighborhood I've never even heard of. We walk in, and this huge, it's like it's been bred with this, that more muscle and testosterone. Sitting there like this. And it jumps up, and it bites my daughter's lip in the first 2 seconds of being in the room.
That does not look
good. That's not a sign.
So you bought
that
you got
the
dog.
That was the only thing. My brain is going, but the pictures?
Yeah,
surely
no.
Surely there's another side to this dog.
Wait, you know how headshots work though, right?
Yeah, right.
I mean, that dog probably
exactly,
had a whole day.
Exactly.
I'm surprised the dog didn't have like a four-panel headshot with like a
well,
glasses.
Well, I said to the woman on the phone, I said, when were those pictures taken? Oh, just last week. No.
Super Jar is okay.
Dog is fine. It was tiny, but it shocked. It really shocked.
See, I would think that...
Oh.
My girlfriend's mom breeds.
Look at those eyebrows. I'm sorry.
No,
eyebrows
she's
so
adorable.
Distracting. Those are the best eyebrows in the world. Look at those eyebrows.
They're so. She's like a 70s painting. Like an oil. Like a sad dog.
Oh yeah, like
painting.
That. Yeah. You're right.
Like those puppy paintings.
Yeah.
I was thinking my
like
girlfriend's
the poker.
The little yes, playing poker.
The velvet.
They're so expressive.
Yeah.
That story tells that those eyes tell a story.
Oh my God! Are you sure you don't want to sell her?
I'm pretty sure. Sorry.
So you're just gonna give her
wait,
away?
Wait, you didn't even ask for how much. You're bad at business.
Oh my God! Does she need to like be walked and stuff?
Yeah, I take her on lots of hikes.
Oh okay. Never
mind. You sure she likes it? Because she seems pretty exhausted all the time.
But I think this is you know like she's getting her exercise most of the day. So
yeah.
This is good.
This is her downtime.
This is good for her. But I was going to say, my girlfriend's mom shows French bulldogs. Like, she does
oh,
the
really?
Full, like,
oh,
show
wow.
dog, like, shows the little Frenchies. And,
shows the little Frenchies.
They're, you got to call them Frenchies. It's a lingo.
It is a lingo.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing.
Here,
it's a lingo.
They're damn, I'm going to show you a, now I'm breaking out cute dog pics.
I just took this over Christmas. Come on, look at that. I mean,
everybody's favorite part of the podcast, Chris shows pictures.
Have we started recording it?
Yeah, but oh, yeah, we did. Okay. Yeah.
Then I won't say what I was going to say.
Say it. Say it.
No, I'm not.
You see?
No, it's very funny.
You think it looks like fucking
she was going to say they're definitely fringes because they look like cowards.
It's very funny.
Come on.
Wait, is that creme de la mer?
I don't know.
Somebody got creme de la mer for Christmas.
The dog got creme de la mer.
No. To take away some of that jowly
Yeah, to take some of the way the jowly stuff. Well, these French bulldogs basically look like wingless bats. Like, they look like...
They're actually really fucking ugly. I'm sorry. Are we allowed to swear?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, sorry.
Fuck those dogs.
They are so ugly. You have to get around that first.
If you can get around that,
yeah,
totally fine.
They're great, low maintenance.
But I feel like if I ever happen to catch like a dog show, I feel like the dogs that usually win, you're like, blah, like they're uggos. Like some of those dogs.
I don't watch too many dog shows.
Yeah,
I
have I'm not
to
really.
Say.
Yeah.
I'm not. No, I think we might need to change the subject.
What are your television viewing?
Is that Dolly Parton?
It is. Yeah.
Look at her.
Have you met her?
Back when?
Have you ever met Dolly?
I'd love to meet Dolly.
Doesn't she just seem?
You know what? I feel like I have met Dolly. Is that a Chewbacca purse?
No, it's the guest book that you're going to sign.
Get the fuck out of here.
And it growls when you open it.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, the front page should.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
Yep. Yeah.
There's something so delightful about
this. This could be like my new best friend.
That's the lowest maintenance dog.
Requires no walking.
This
it's not going to bite your daughter.
Answer.
Amazon will ship it to London.
Oh my gosh. Do I get to keep all the signatures?
Well, hey, wait, hang on now. Now I know
this
I know how Katie feels.
This is the answer
like,
to all of my...
I just love the idea that Jillian Andrews just offers to buy everything.
You want Kyle? He's a low maintenance dog.
I didn't offer to buy this.
You're being given to you.
I was expecting.
You can have Kyle. You can have Kyle.
Does this come with you?
It does now.
Kyle will growl like poke him. See? Yeah.
I am so sorry. This is like the coolest thing ever. It's got rice stuck to the back of it.
Of course it does. Of course it does.
No, I kind of like that.
It was on a food
this
table.
Looks slightly maggoty.
It's.
I just have to say.
Well, the rotting rookie corpse that we cut it from.
Can I get a discount from my free
Chewbacca? I'm
going
to have to talk to my manager. I got to talk to my manager. All right, he says we'll give you $1,000.
Oh, my. Sorry. That is the coolest fucking thing in the world. How long have you guys had this? And then I promise I won't
talk
about it anymore.
No, fine. Lucasfilm sent that to me about...
Oh, Lucasfilm.
They sent it to me. No. Listen,
Lucasfilm.
All you could have said was they sent me something...
Let me think. Oh, never. They've never sent me anything.
Yeah, I know, but...
Why did they send you something?
You got to be on X-Files. Because, I don't know, I did some work with them, and so they sent me a Christmas package.
No way.
I get a box from them every year of like a bunch of Star Wars toys.
I don't think
toys.
Carrie Fisher even has one of these.
I'm sure she does.
I guarantee she doesn't want one either.
What the fuck is this? How many more of these goddamn notebooks do I need?
Doesn't he own a winery?
Did I tell you my Carrie Fisher story?
I don't know.
I was in a department store, and from across the store, I heard, Michael! I'm like, who the fuck is this? I just heard this person going, Michael! And I finally saw the source of the shouts, and it was Carrie Fisher looking for her assistant. But just like wandering through the department store, like... Kind of like when a kid gets lost, and they're like, Mom! But just, Michael! And I don't know if she ever found Michael. This was before Instagram, where I would have videoed that.
Oh, of course.
And that would have been on. How are you doing? Have you been in Los Angeles long from England?
I have been in Los Angeles land since Monday evening. And it's now, what is it?
I think
Friday?
It's Friday.
Is it Friday? Yeah, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 days.
Oh, my gosh. When are you going back?
I go back, I go through New York next week, and then through Toronto for a couple days on Hannibal, and then go back to London.
So is the trip, it's pretty much just press, work, back home?
Yes and no.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, there's, you know, it's party time in Los Angeles.
Because of the Globes.
Because of the Globes.
Yeah. Right.
And so there's a lot of that, too.
Nice.
Nice.
How are the Golden Globes? I've never been to the Golden Globes.
The Golden Globes are probably the funnest of all of them.
Yeah.
Because everybody, it's a dinner and everybody gets drunk.
Yeah.
And when I used to be invited to go, I'm out actually going this week. But you know, in the olden days,
right?
You know, when I mean, I think I was there that when Good Will Hunting won and when Gwyneth won for Shakespeare in Love and. There was, you know, obviously there's been no smoking forever.
Right.
And there was one famous evening when Sean Penn smoked the entire evening. And I just remember this look of standing out by the bathrooms and this sea of people sat down and there's this smoke trailing up to the ceiling and it's Sean Penn and nobody has the guts to say, sir, could you put that out, please?
That's how you know you've made it.
Wow.
Well,
that's how you know.
Hilarious. Or that's how you know you have a history of punching people in the face.
That's what I mean. That's how you know that you've made it to the top of the food chain because everyone's afraid of you.
No, they're fun. They're so fun. They're really, really fun.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
When so you must have gone. You must have been a million times, though.
A small handful.
Do you like
times.
In general? Award shows seem stressful, though.
Well, they are stressful when you're nominated, which is the only time you really should go if you're presenting or nominated.
Sure.
They are stressful. They're really stressful, and especially if you're presenting, especially for people who drink. If you're presenting, and it's like the Globes, because by the time you get up there, you've probably two sheets to the wind.
So it sounds like the key really is that if you're going to go and drink in an awards show, you're better off presenting early.
Yes.
So
but
that,
not that you have that much of a choice in the matter.
No, you don't.
But some of them, you know, some of them are long.
Yeah.
Long, and you're in an uncomfortable dress and you're sat down and yeah.
Is that part of it weird? Do you mind that part of it?
No, I mean, if you're lucky enough to be invited to be there because you've been nominated, then you have no right to complain about any of those aspects.
Well, I just mean all of the, you know, what did Gillian Anderson wear to the...
That's horrendous.
Yeah.
That's hell on earth. Really. That's the worst bit of it. Completely. It's gotten so insane. It's just, it's ridiculous.
I find, and this is a point that I stick on a lot, but I find it so interesting that a business that attracts a personality type that is hypersensitive. I mean, if you're a performer, I assume that most performers are, you know, because you're kind of absorbing the world and reinterpreting the world and you can be hypersensitive, that so many facets of the business actually prey on that and challenge to make it worse.
Well, the thing is that a lot of actors that I know who work really, really hard to in the projects that they're working on and really care about, you know, the majority or hopefully work on things that
sure.
they care about. When you're on set and you're creating a character and you're, you know, blood, sweat and tears, you're not thinking about that aspect of it at all. You are just there to serve the purpose of the project
mm-hmm.
and to do the best that you can do. And, you know, some of these worlds that you create or you're part of are can be quite profound and are about, you know, human relationships. And there's often pain and tragedy and sorrow and joy and all that kind of stuff. So to then, you know, to have that experience and then a year and a half later I have to say 7,965 times, answer the question, so tell me about your character. What's she like? Oh my God, this is like the most amazing film I've ever seen in my whole life. Well, it's about a suicidal maniac.
Amazing. That's great. No, it's not.
What drives him? It's just, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't, the two do not, they're two different worlds.
And yet, you unfortunately you kind of need,
it's par for the course.
Yeah, it is. You kind of need a little bit of that in order to then, it's the little bit of the trade-off of like, well, you got to do a little more of that so that you can get a little more of these opportunities.
Well, it would be a really interesting experiment if the movie still came out as they come out,
mm-hmm.
but nobody did any press or promotion around them.
Right.
Let's say that everybody decided that, you know what, it's a waste of money. You could feed a lot of people for what is spent on advertising.
Right.
And that people would just expect that these things were still going to come out. At a certain point, they're going to be in the movie theater. People will hear about them. Word of mouth, they're going to show up. What would happen if all the other crap now, just didn't
Are they still
take
doing
place.
Trailers and commercials?
Well, trailers are fine. I mean, right. trailers are different.
No junkets, no like the talk show circuit.
I'm guessing literally nothing would be different.
It may not be.
I mean, billions of dollars. Billions and billions of dollars.
Billions and billions.
Well, I think part of it is also the the studios, the company's way of kind of being able to pass the buck if the thing doesn't fly. Go, I don't know. We spent all this money in promotion and we sent it and people didn't. So it's not my fault, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. Wouldn't it be interesting?
Well, I think if actors didn't have to go to press junkets, I think literally nothing would be different.
Then we'd have a lot
less guests.
Because
I understand that entirely. What I'm saying right now is counterproductive to our podcast. But I feel like there's never been like a movie where I was not on board already, where I then saw someone in an interview and went, oh,
exactly. I mean,
she was very charming. I'm going to go see that now.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're not going to go see that person be charming. You're going to go see that person play whoever the hell they're playing.
I'll tell you.
If everybody went on inside the actor studio and only were talking as the character, that's a different story.
Oh, that's
you have to go promote in character.
And then James Lipton has to interview you as your character. That would be kind of annoying, I think.
Yeah, sure would be.
Yeah, no, that would be.
Not for me, though.
I wasn't sure if that show could kick up the pretentiousness a notch, and I think that would be the way, because everyone came on in character. And then before they got into character, James Lipton had to say, I would like to talk to Hannibal, please. And then that person would have to all of a sudden be that character.
I'd watch that.
Nah, I don't know. I just remember when I saw... When I saw Ghostbusters in 1984, I knew nothing about it. I just saw an ad for it in the newspaper. I'm like, oh, Bill Murray. Yeah. Well, I want to go see what that is. Yeah. And that ended up being one of my favorite movies of all time. What's your favorite movie? What are some of your favorite movies? That's a difficult question. It's tough to answer
1900.
One. 1900? Yeah. Oh, nice.
What else?
Footloose, right? The original.
Is there anything that if it comes on TV, do you have TV? Do you have cable at home?
I don't watch TV.
You don't really watch TV. No.
You got TV in England?
God, that's too hard of a question. I mean, I love all the Godfathers. I love Deer Hunter. I watched that again recently. I love the classic.
Can you watch your own stuff?
Or do
you?
Yeah.
Not? Oh, you can. Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Do you watch your own stuff?
I do. I find it. I find it educational.
I think the same thing.
Yeah. Like what not to do next time.
That's exactly right. Like when people are like, "Oh yeah, I don't watch myself because I get too aware," and I'm like, "But shouldn't you be kind of?" You know. But
I mean, sometimes I find it a little bit disappointing when I watch something and I go, "Oh, that's me." Like I still see me. When I was inside of that character, I didn't feel like me, but. There's me.
and
that's a little disappointing.
And you also must kind of it can be kind of weird because you don't really have control over. I mean, I would imagine.
There's this illusion that as an actor that there is some kind of control. I mean, you have control over the preparation and what you put into your performance and what you deliver on the day. And if you have a good relationship, obviously, with a director and et cetera, you get to say, can I just do one more? I just need to do one more. Or you might say that 100 times. Can I do one more? Yeah. There's the illusion that when you finally get to the end of that and you think that all the little bits that are there, that you've got them all in that one take, but that's the last bit of control that you have. Who knows that when they get to the editing room that they have it? I mean, first of all, they're not going to just use one take. They're going to use, you know, different from all different takes. But they could be using stuff from the first take where you thought you sucked and you have there's nothing you can do about it.
Right.
But there's this kind of this idea that some but it is the last moment that you have any semblance. It's a lie, but any semblance of control over it whatsoever. But you don't. And obviously you're in the hands of the director and the editor, and that's wonderful if you're working with great people. But you don't have control.
You don't really. I mean, across most facets of the business, I mean, like the only thing you can control is how much work you put into something. And then that's literally it. You can't control if someone's going to fire you. You can't control if your project's going to get shelved. You can't control anything. I mean, it's a weird...
I mean, every new job that I do... Well, not every, but most new jobs that I do, first day, I'm convinced that what they're actually talking about behind the monitor is how much I suck and that
really?
I'm going to get fired.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And how do you get over it? Do you ignore it or do you just go, well, whatever's going
to
happen?
Enough days pass that I think, well, maybe they're not because it would be too expensive to like reshoot these to somebody
and
else.
Then you think of Back to the Future when they shot with Stoltz there and then replaced him with Michael J. Fox. And you're like, anything's possible.
Anything is possible.
They shot 2/3 of that movie.
Well,
is that true?
You didn't know that?
No, they shot
2/3 of the movie with Eric Stoltz as Marty McFly. And his portrayal of the character was really intense, and it just wasn't
working.
I recently introduced my two little boys to Back to the Future for the first time. Those things are so exciting as a parent to like get to say, just watch this. I'm just going to put this in. Just sit here. I'm just going to introduce.
Mommy's firing up the Betamax, kids.
Opening up this world.
Did they like it?
Oh my god, they became obsessed with it. Oh, they are so determined that a hoverboard. I mean, they're obsessed with the hoverboard. They've made a prototype with a hair dryer of a hoverboard
that's fantastic.
That actually slightly lifts up off the ground. Did you see the latest hoverboard, this invention that's been made?
The one with that the blue lights on the bottom, that one that they're sort of like
it doesn't really do it.
Nike has said that this year they're going to release the mags with the power laces.
Because if you showed your kids Back to the Future 2,
yes,
it's now 2015.
I'm sorry. 1 and 3.
Just 1 and 3.
You just show them 1 and 3.
2 is one of the most inappropriate films I've ever seen. I put it in
Hang on.
I started to watch that. They're 6 and 8, okay?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
All right. First of all, it's not the best one.
No, it's
let
definitely
it be said.
Not the best one.
But, yeah, but then it is so disturbing.
I never wanted to argue with Gillian Anderson
disturbing.
About anything until right now.
You like 2?
Did you
I
like
enjoyed
2?
I didn't like
2.
2
has
like
the
two.
Most.
2 is my
why,
least favorite.
Why I like 2, and maybe
yes.
in a few years they'll enjoy 2. But why I liked 2 when I was a kid was just the science of the broken timeline situation of like, this is 1985C and this is 1985B.
Right.
We spewed off this timeline. We have to go back.
Okay, but imagine this. 2 innocent little boys.
Sure.
And the whole thing, the whole thing is just anger. Fighting, anger.
It is a lot. It's dark. I mean, Biff's 1985 is no good.
And watching their mom with weird breast implants had to marry Biff.
And they're feeling each other up.
Dad's dead. Like, the whole thing. Yeah, it's a bummer. It was a bummer. And I remember being so excited for Back to the Future 2 and then seeing it and being like, I don't know how I feel right now because I saw the first one so many times.
Yeah, I remember enjoying it.
But 3 was good. Three's
really
is
fun.
Like comfort food, that kind of Western.
It comes.
Well, anything Mary Steenburgen is in really
comes back around.
Just like, yeah, this is fine. I'll
true.
Watch
it.
This.
All comes back around.
That's true.
Well, so
hang on. I just remember, but they were just recently introduced to James Bond films over Christmas, the PG ones.
Oh,
only
well,
the PG.
All
ones.
Of them were PG until very
no,
recently.
No.
Yeah. Well. License to Kill was not.
There's definitely some stuff in there that isn't.
He is a Bond fanatic.
Okay. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, yeah. No.
This guy. So he's very happy.
So
we
watched
Octopussy.
But we were literally in a. We were in a hotel a week later, and out of the blue, my 6-year-old, and they've got. We live in London, so they've got British accents. So my 6-year-old, we're by a pool, and out of the blue, he goes, "So Octopussy is for girls and Octopus is for boys."
You know?
Okay. Now he has no understanding whatsoever of the, you know, of the connotations.
Of course.
At all.
But I like that he's already trying to make delineations in the world.
Exactly.
Like, okay, this makes logical sense.
Yes, exactly.
How did you explain to him?
I dropped it. I was just like, I didn't hear that.
What's that over there?
Yeah,
is
exactly.
Is Octopussy the first one you showed them?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Weird way to start.
No. The first, I think, but no, it was, what would it have been? It was Live and Let Die,
the first Roger
maybe?
Moore one? The Blaxploitation
yeah.
one?
The what?
Blaxploitation James Bond movie?
Yeah.
With Kananga. It's great. It's so good.
What's your favorite one?
My favorite James Bond movie is From Russia with Love.
Do you have a favorite one?
I have to say, I'm a big Sean Connery fan, as Bond, but I also really liked Skyfall.
Yeah.
Skyfall's great. Skyfall's great. Guys, they're shooting right now in the Alps. Let's go.
They are.
So how long, just going back to the idea of like, oh, I'm going to get fired. How long were you on X-Files before you felt like, all right, I think I can take a breath and relax now. The show's not going anywhere. I'm employed for a while. Everything's fine.
Oh, I almost got fired a couple of times.
Really?
Yeah. The first time was I was having a really hard time with lines. I mean, I had gone from never really having to memorize very much to having to memorize the entire medical handbook every single night.
Yeah, the beauty
after
of
shooting a 16-hour day to go home and memorize 7 pages of monologues about mitochondria and et cetera, you know. It was
the beauty of Dana Scully's character is that she is a... She's a
know-it-all.
Doctor.
Give it hand to forensic. She's a forensic pathologist, but yeah, and yeah.
And has to literally explain everything.
Everything
to Big Dumb Dumb Mulder.
Everything in every episode, in every scene. but there was a period of time where
the Enterprise only had Geordi and Captain Picard. So I have to memorize all of those lines.
Yeah. Oh my God. So I was having trouble at the beginning, and they, one of the producers, had to come to me and say, "Look, you know, we're having to do a lot of takes. This is costing us a lot of money. You better get your act together, or we're gonna have to have a more serious conversation."
Oh shit.
Yeah.
So what'd you do?
I found another way to memorize, I guess. When I started, I was Fear. So freaked out by the whole thing that I drew graphs. I like for every episode, I drew graphs because I was so worried because we shoot out of sequence. And until you get used to shooting something out of sequence and kind of mapping in your mind what the trajectory of that is for a character, and depending on how intense a character is, it's more important and meaningful and et cetera. Eventually on The X-Files, it was like, I do. What was the last scene we phoned in? Oh, yeah, right. Okay. You phone it in a lot more, and you learn that as long as you look like you know what you're talking about, you don't actually have to look up every fucking medical word that you're saying. I learned that pretty quickly. So all of that initial stuff was taking a lot of time. My graphs, looking everything up, all that kind of stuff. So I was like, and then once I got a different kind of rhythm of how to memorize and not do that stuff and relax, I guess. Relax into it. Trust myself. Trust that I hadn't been fired yet. Trust that I could do it. But there was also, you know, I was 24.
Wow.
And I lied. I told him I was 27. And so there was already that thing.
The first performer in history to say that they're older than they actually are.
But I, you know, Scully had to be... a few times she had to kind of be the boss in a few situations and like tell people what to do. And I felt like I was like 12 still. And I had this, still feel like I had this really kind of squeaky voice and, you know, and I was, you know, a professional FBI agent. And a medical doctor for fuck's sakes. And I had to pretend like I knew my shit. And that was, And so I often, and so when I was in those situations where I had to talk to a large group of usually male police officers and whatever and tell them what to do or have to sit and be the authority on something, a fear set in because I felt like I didn't feel like I'd had any of that experience myself or I was that person or I was necessarily even capable of projecting that type of intelligence and authority in any way, shape, or form. And so it took a while for me to... I did it long enough that I then had that experience backing me up and it you know, and it got better. I got better as an actor.
At what point did you feel like I got it?
Third season. I really think that it was, you know, there was this episode called Beyond the Sea, which was the first kind of Scully heavy episode, and David Nutter was directing. He was one of our big directors, and I became upset. I was suddenly had this. I realized the opportunity that I had, and that I really needed to work on it really hard. And I again got into the kind of OCD thing of mapping every single beat, and you know, but sat down a lot with David and worked stuff out, and I think through that process of properly taking it seriously on another level from more. From an acting perspective rather than just defending for my life and getting to get the lines out and am I even remotely believable and all that kind of stuff, it kind of shifted things, I think.
I think, but what you're talking about in the first three seasons, I think actually helped the dynamic of the show because the character is basically thrust into this... It's true. The character is thrust into this weird world and I think she herself was trying to establish some sort of grounding or authority.
But when you see it, I mean, when today do you see, and it may just be that it's me looking back, like, you know, when you hear yourself, your voice recorded and you go, ugh, you know, you guys must do that all the time. It's possible that some of it is that, but when I look at myself, say in the pilot, I am so green simultaneous to her being so green that it's a different, it's a greenness that you don't, because it's so organic. You don't necessarily, usually when people are playing green, they're acting green and they do a good job at it. But this was literally like, she doesn't know what the fuck she's doing. Like, can she even, I mean, I'm a child.
Yeah.
I'm a child in the pilot pretending to be an adult. It's so obvious.
I thought it worked so well. And I love, because I'll go back and I think it's.
Is Beyond the Sea the one where you guys are on that ship and start aging?
No, that's Triangle. I'm amazed that I even remember this stuff. Because that's way, such a bad memory.
I'm amazed that you remember this too.
I have the worst fucking memory for this. Most of the time when I do panels at like Comic Cons and stuff like that, and somebody will ask a question, I'll just look out at the audience, and then somebody will get the answer.
That was season six, episode 12. No idea. Thank you.
No, that was, what was his name? Guy in an orange jumpsuit who was in prison. It was slightly Silence of the Lambsy.
Oh, okay.
Did
that prepare you for Hannibal?
Brad.
Dourif?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Nice.
Guys, good job. Yeah. We are the Nerdist Podcast.
So then you would know that Bryan Cranston.
Yes.
Was in Vince's first episode.
We had Vince on as well.
Did you?
And I was more fascinated with
Vince. Vince is such a good guy. I just love to talk to him.
My sister has his very first autograph he ever did. My sister was doing the show, or maybe it was just when she had come to visit, and she'd innocently had asked him for his autograph, and he said, he might have even written on it, "This is my first autograph."
He is the sweetest.
I know.
Nicest.
Who would think that he has in his brain what he has
with the quiet
him. It's not that he's quiet. He's just sweet. He's just like, if you met him, you'd be like, what's that guy do? Is he sell insurance or just so...
Exactly. He's an insurance salesman.
Yeah, and because he's so friendly and warm and his shoes.
I got a pair in the back that I think's going to work for you.
He sells every
just
kind of insurance but medical.
I think it's maybe FX or someone. The show's in syndication on one of the.
Yeah, it's shows. Also on Netflix right now.
And so I love watching it. Like, I'll watch it. I'll put it like on my laptop and then just put it next to work because that's how I watch a lot of stuff when I'm in bed. And you forget how, because at the time, and we kind of had the same conversation with Lisa Kudrow. At the time, you were like, "Well, this is the pinnacle of fashion. This is like before the '80s was dumb, but this is never." But seeing the aesthetic of the show, you're like, that is so 90s. Like, I get what the 90s are when I said it show aesthetically is so 90s.
My pastel polyester pantsuits.
Right. Our good friend Kumail Nanjiani, he has an X-Files Files podcast.
Oh, he does?
Yeah, Kumail from Silicon Valley. He does his own podcast exclusively about the X-Files.
Really?
Yeah, you should go on it. I did one. We do two episodes per podcast episode, so we cover two episodes. We watch two episodes. We both take notes. Then we get back together. It's whoever
That's
the
cool.
guest is talks
That's
about
really
it.
Cool.
But we spent a good 15 minutes talking about how good David Duchovny looked in jeans. Like, it was just that was like they had to like they went. It was Bradley Whitford was the bad guy. It was in a volcano. It was like.
Ice?
Was that the name
no,
of it?
No, I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know either. I feel like it was second season.
I don't know.
Firewalker? Yes, I'm being told that is correct. I'm getting a nod from Kyle. But yeah, he gets off a helicopter in some jeans, and we're like, oh my God. That looks great. God, looks great in those jeans.
Hit pause for a sec.
But what's funny is we both watched it independently and both made the same note.
No. That's hilarious. Oh, I must tell David.
Please do.
I must tell David. And you know what? He still looks good in jeans.
Yeah, he does.
He does look good in jeans, yeah.
Yeah.
He does.
That's a...
That is funny.
That was so good. But by the way, I cannot believe how old your daughter is. Because of the fact that you got abducted by aliens.
Well, when I first met Simon Pegg, uh-huh. who was a massive, massive fan. I mean, he's a sci-fi,
of course,
right?
Yes.
Yeah. So, and I did How to Lose Friends and Alienate People with him. And when Piper came to visit set, and he met her for the first time, he literally he could barely even. He's like, you're because she was in my tummy. She was that bump.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Crazy.
I can't believe how long ago that was.
So they blew up my tummy. The aliens abducted Scully.
Yeah. Yep.
And the idea was that they were doing experiments on her, and maybe what the huge bulge was is that they had like blown it up to study her, you know, blown it up full of air or now, something.
When she was young, were you like, this is where you came from? You're part alien and mommy.
You know, it wasn't until she was, I don't know when in her teens, she got to kind of understand that she was part of something that was kind of a little bit cool,
mm-hmm.
you know, cause I took her, had we moved to London yet? I can't remember, but I took her to the Harry Potter set, I think in the first, maybe the second movie. It was when Alfonso Cuarón was directing. So whenever that was.
That was three, yeah.
God, you guys know everything. So, and I took her on to, and she was amazed by the sets and the things that the wardrobe girls had on their hips and the Polaroids when there were still Polaroids that they used to take for hair, for continuity and all this kind of stuff. And in my mind, I was thinking, you grew up with this. Like, you saw this every fucking day. Like, why is this cool? Why is this cool? And that wasn't cool. I mean, I've got Polaroids of her, like, in as a baby, like, in the mouth of a crocodile, like a fake crocodile, you know, like, or being held by aliens. I've got, like, these Polaroids of, like, every, like, with Fluke Man, Piper and Fluke Man.
I think it's probably just a parent thing.
No
I'm
clue.
Sure. I'm sure J.K. Rowling's kids are like, oh, the X-Files read. She's like, you live at fucking Hogwarts.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
You want to blow her mind? Show a Polaroid of her and Mitch Pileggi.
Same hair.
This guy's hair hasn't changed.
Yeah.
He looks exactly the same. Was it so? What was that? What an amazing time in your life that you get the show and you're young and you're pregnant and you're having a kid. All
must have been real easy. What was that?
At the same time, what you know?
When I first, I was so naive. I didn't watch TV. I didn't know what seasons of television were. I didn't know that things went on hiatus. I didn't know what it meant to do. What do you mean picking up? How many episodes? Okay, so we're doing 13. And then they're going to tell us that we might get to do some more. And then that I could not even fathom what any of that meant. And so when we were told that we were going to do more, it was like, oh, cool. Okay, that's great. All right, I don't have anything else to do. Anything at all. And then it just kept going and going and going. So I was, what was the point that I was making? What did you ask me about?
I was talking about all these major changes in your life happening at one
point. So then when I got pregnant, it was in my mind at the very beginning until I realized, because I had no sense of the enormity of the fact that we were beginning to be a hit and what that meant and what the stakes were. In my mind, I was like, why are they making such a fucking big deal about this? I know it's the first season, but it's a baby. It's a human being. And then all of a sudden it started to dawn on me, you know, that, you know, you just got a really big gig and you've never done anything before in your life as an actor. And now you're on the X-Files and you're going to fuck it up by being pregnant and having to force them into all these different changes and being fat and have to frame around you for so many months. Anyway, so I suddenly kind of got their perspective on things, but they were not happy. And I get that. I understand that. But because of it, it actually... I mean, Chris said that they say that it was the fact that having to make that work and me needing to be away for a period of time and, you know, Mulder not having somebody to ask what something meant that they had to it started the mythology episodes because they needed to figure out what to do when Scully was not around.
Well, I just think it must have been interesting to, you know, because a lot of my friends who have kids right at you, like for a year, several months to a year after the child is born, they go, oh, I have mommy brain. I forget words. I forget where I am. I forget what day it is. Like they just say they just forget the most basic things because they're sleep deprived and they're focused on the kid. And so, I mean, the having this huge hit show, but then kind of going through that at the same time, how did you manage those two things?
10 days after C-section, I was back on set.
Oh,
and they were like, whoa, she's lying down, because I was in the, I'd come in from the coma. Well, she's lying down for a part of the episode.
So,
so what's the big deal? No, no, but it was, you know, I don't know. I didn't know anything else. So I just, it just started going again. I mean, it just, you know, it sucked for a period of time. And I, you know, I was in a wheelchair.
Oh, no.
I forgot that they literally rolled me to set in a wheelchair and put me in the bed. That was one breath. And because I was breastfeeding, and when I was lying down in the hospital bed, my tits were so big. They looked like one. They called, and I had the pads in, so they nicknamed it One Breast. One breath became one breast. I was literally, you couldn't see my face past my boobs. Oh my God. And then there was the day when I was still breastfeeding, there was an episode when I was out in a boat in the middle. It was a dream sequence, and Scully's like out in a boat. And they were doing a crane shot or something, and I was out there for the longest time, and my breast started to get engorged because it was time to fucking
breastfeed. Oh, yeah.
And I was in so much pain, and I kept on having these visions of feeding the entire crew. I was on the banks of the river. I'm just squeezing my last breast and just being, there were all the crew standing with their mouths open and me being like,
feed the world. Yeah.
That's where my brain was going. It was like, get me the fuck off this rowboat.
So
I digress.
That's an amazing.
That's fantastic.
Was it, but overall, when you look back at all those years, were they, do you go, oh, that was fun? I mean, that was good. Or did it just feel like, it just got to be work at a certain point?
Well, it did get to be work at a certain point, but it was also, you know, it was an amazing thing to be a part of. And I don't think it was even until we were done, a few years after we were done, when I got to have that perspective of looking back and think, you know what, that's fucking cool that I got to be, you know, not only to be able to be such a cool character and to get to play her for so long, but to be a part of such an iconic show and the beginnings of so much, the beginnings of, you know, no lighting, lighting ourselves with mag lights and, you know, and the beginning of that type of a relationship, an intelligent woman on TV and the, you know, the duo and sci-fi and beginning of appointment television, the beginning of, you know, all of that.
Do you feel like, I'm sure people ask you this all the time. Is it something that you would continue to do? Like if they were like, let's do one of these every few years. Or do you feel like, the story's been told. I'm happy with the way that it all wrapped up.
Well, you know, there've been two films.
Yes.
And we've always said that if they're, You know, it never felt like the last film was enough of an ending. We've also, you know, bandied about over the years, you know, should we do a spoof of it? Wouldn't it be great to do a film that was a comedy of the X-Files?
Like, yes, it would be.
Wouldn't that be so awesome?
I'll write it.
We'll do it
go
now.
Go for it.
We're in a studio right now. There's an open studio. There's got to be cameras.
Exterior.
Get your company here. Make sure he's wearing jeans.
Anyway, so we've been, you know, we've talked about it. We're up for it. It's always in discussion, and there's, you know,
there's heavy sighs.
What more can I say?
I'm sure you want to do a lot of things. It's just like it's time and there's energy, and it's like, can you get all these? Because at a certain point, it's sort of like when I think about Deadwood, you know, and they'd always, for years, they'd said, you know, like, oh, maybe they'll go back and do a movie to wrap up the series because it got abruptly canceled and it never. But then at a certain point, it's like everyone's at different places in their life, and can you get all those people together, and can it, you know, like.
I mean, what would your response be if it was like announced next week that we were going to go ahead and do 8-12 episodes of The X-Files again?
On Netflix? Where are you doing it?
If you go back to Fox,
that's fine with me. I'll do it.
It's fine with you. I'll watch. Have a choice but to go back to Fox, and I'm thinking Fox is going to say, that's okay. We'll let Netflix have it.
We got this adorkable girl here. We're putting her on every night.
No, but what would you, as an audience member,
yeah.
If you know, 46-year-old Gillian Anderson as Scully and 50-whatever-year-old David Duchovny as Mulder were going to do a slew of X-Files.
Yeah.
I'd watch the shit out of it. What are you talking about? I would be fucking overjoyed.
Nothing you said is deterring me.
Really?
I would be as excited as you were about this fucking Chewbacca notebook. That's how excited I would be. Are you kidding?
Do you think people would watch? Do you think people would watch?
Of course they would.
Of course. Especially because, you know, I think as long as
you guys have to go investigate Sleepy Hollow. Why is the show on?
And what do you think it should be? Should it be like Monster of the Week stuff, or would you want it to be more like mythology stuff, or more like current event stuff? Like would we have to do an episode that involved terrorists?
Yeah,
or
fuck yeah, you would.
Right.
Maybe aliens are in charge of terrorism.
Well, that's the thing.
Maybe all the fundamentalists are aliens. Yeah. Those are aliens.
You know, that's one of the things that's what I always loved about Doctor Who, is that it would take anything, like, you know, part of the storylines were space stories, and some of them were mythology, and some of them were history, and it just assigned aliens. It assigned alien life to all those different things. And so I don't see any reason why you guys couldn't do current event stuff and then tack it on. But because you guys would be that much wiser and have that much more experience and be at different places in your life, I think it'd be a fucking rad dynamic. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
So do you think
at 46,
that basically,
I would finally believe you're a doctor.
I better know how to play a fucking doctor by now.
So
and boss
about,
people around.
What were you about to
no,
say?
No, I was about to say, I mean, would you say that it was something that, I mean, should, like, you know.
Should you bring it up at the next meeting? Yeah.
I mean, yeah, is it something that Fox should basically do anything in their power?
Yes, Fox.
In order to make it happen?
They better. Yes, oh, my God. If that's even on the table.
I mean, the idea is
Californication's wrapped up, right? Let's make this happen. That guy's got plenty of jeans.
I think what you need to do is
what's Mitch up to? He's not narrating any more magician shows. I think he's good to go.
I think it'd be really funny if it turned out that Californication was basically Fox Mulder's experiment to try to reacclimate. Like, the government did something to his brain and made him think he was a writer. And then basically,
or maybe do like one of those things where he wakes up out of a dream and he's been Hank Moody in Mulder's dream. That's his fantasy. His fantasy, dude.
Yes.
Fox Mulder is very awkward with women. And so his ultimate.
That weird porn obsession.
Yeah.
Fox Mulder. Yeah.
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 I love it.
Yeah.
Guys, let's make this happen.
By the way, David Duchovny on Red Shoe Diaries and Fox Mulder, I think they're the same guy. I think they're absolutely the same guy. I think Fox Mulder goes to a I think he goes to a P.O. box place and just reads weird
and
letters.
And we find out his sister was never abducted. She just went into prostitution.
Or just something
just,
really
like, drove him.
It drove him insane. It drove him insane. I don't see any reason why it wouldn't work. If it's something that you guys would be open to, of course people would watch
Dear Fox.
Yeah. Of course people would watch that.
Just do it. American Idol's done. Yeah. We don't need any more of those. No. Put on an X-Files.
What else does Fox have? I have no idea.
They got your American Idols. They got your So You Think You Can Dances.
They got Gordon Ramsay.
They got four shows by Gordon Ramsay. They got MasterChef Junior, MasterChef, Hell's Kitchen, and Kitchen Nightmares.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
What was Motel Hell on?
Oh, and Hotel Hell.
Yeah.
Do those things make Fox money?
Yeah.
Are they big money makers?
Those Gordon Ramsay shows make Fox money.
So they're wealthy right now. Fox.
They're doing okay. I think they can spread a little bit around, but there's some nights that need some help. If you guys went back on Sunday nights, I'd be into it.
You know, what's fun about that is that I think when you're making a movie, it's such a pain in the ass because you have to tell this grand the story, but you just have a limited amount of time. But it takes so much work to put that together. But in a series, you could do arcs and tie shit together, and you guys.
I mean, we can spread this rumor very quickly. We're multi-platform.
Yeah, we could trick Fox into thinking they've already agreed to it.
Well, it would be interesting to get feedback to find out what the interest level is.
Yeah, I think we should. We're gonna start the rumor right now that do you think we could just speak for Duchovny and say that he would be up for it too?
Of course he'd be up for it.
All right, done. That's all I needed to hear.
He's got a divorce to pay for. We're good to go.
Hey, listen, Kyle, did you witness that?
Yes.
Okay, you've seconded it. Okay, so there you go. You got two right there.
I don't think. Well, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm wondering what would be the most proactive of whether starting a rumor or actually doing like a poll.
Okay, so this is my call out to every possible blog news source who's listening to this. Everything in the nerd sphere, essentially,
get a hashtag because then it will trend.
Oh, that's what you got to do.
So what would it be? Hashtag.
X-Files on Fox?
No.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. X-Files 2015?
X-Files 2015?
Sure.
X-Files 2015.
X-Files 2015.
Question mark.
X-Files 2015. Don't put a question mark
okay,
in there.
Okay, sorry.
X-Files 2015.
X-Files.
Tweet at Fox.
X-Files 2015.
Yeah.
And then everyone who writes
blogs...
Don't
start the tweet by putting at Fox. Make sure everybody who follows you, regardless of whether or not they're following Fox, sees it.
Yeah, put the hashtag first. And then anyone who writes any of the, you know, comic book resources, movie phone, like any site, any...
Devin Faraccia and your badass digest.
Yeah, come on, guys. Get this going. Jillian and David are up for it. 100%.
Chris Carter won't stop calling us.
They're waiting in the wings. Vince Gilligan's like, hey, sure, I'll stop selling shoes to write an episode or two.
Howard Gordon?
Yes.
Yeah.
Come on, guys.
I love it.
We need...
The Wong brothers?
X-Files now more than ever.
Oh, my God. And if there is not a cameo with me and Kumail... shopping for jeans.
Yeah, because, you know, at this point, Fox could be like a weird celebrity in that world with social media. Like, he could totally be...
Oh, Fox Mulder, yeah. Well, I'd be interested to see what the Lone Gunmen are up to. You know?
How did that series wrap?
Are they dead?
I thought they died.
Oh. Well, they're up to nothing now. Or maybe.
I think they might... Yeah, exactly.
This is good. We've done some good work today.
Did they die or did they hack Sony? Think about it.
They faked their own death so no one would ever.
It was the Lone Gunman, not Korea.
Guys.
Got to get Dean back in here. Come on, guys.
We got to make
Dean Haglund, you're not dead. Stop hacking people. By the way, I wish I had a photograph of the picture of excitement on your face when you opened... The Chewbacca notebook.
Oh, my God. I love that notebook.
So
just a couple more things before we let you go, because I know that you're working a shit ton. You have the fall and Hannibal and your book, all these things going on.
Yeah, it's been an awesome time.
Did you like the process of writing? I mean, do you like, because it's interesting to me that, you know, shooting television or film and you're shooting out of sequence. Do you like going back to something that forces you to think in a linear way? Do you like storytelling in a linear
fashion?
Yeah,
I mean, I've never actually really thought about it that way. Like, oh, this is so much better. But the fact is that the books would not happen if it weren't for my co-writer, Jeff. He's written books before, and he knows structure and technique and understands where a story needs to go in order to what needs to happen where. And so my what was the only way that it got done on my part was the fact that I was flying between doing Crisis, Hannibal, and The Fall.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's Belfast, London, Toronto, and that was Chicago. And then added Hannibal. And so I was on so many airplanes that it was a gift. You know, I got to that. That's where I spent my writing time. This year I'm having a little bit more trouble. There's a little bit fewer airplanes, and I'm kind of stuck.
We can
on
squeeze
chapter
one
five.
More in. Hello, Vancouver!
Come on.
but yeah, so that's been amazing. The most amazing thing, actually, aside from I love doing The Fall. It's one of my favorite characters I've ever done. And this last year, I also got to do Streetcar, which has been a dream since I was a very young girl. And got to participate in putting it together and got my first choice for director attached. And Ben Foster was Stanley. Mm-hmm. And it was an extraordinary experience. And so it's been a really great year between getting to play Stella Gibson and having that continuity with that and getting to do Streetcar. And so I feel very, very blessed.
Are you good with, I mean, like, can you handle that stuff pretty well at this point? Like, are you good when things are going well?
That's a really good question. I think I'm better at it. I don't think I used to be real good at it. You know, I was having this conversation last night. You know, there was a period during the X-Files when it got attention and we started to win awards. And I didn't know how to handle that either. I didn't know how to take in all the goodness. And so what I did, I just, like, there are pictures of me with awards and with, like, the Golden Globe or the Emmy, and, you know, where I look like I'm, like, upset that I won an award. I'm not happy. Like, what's wrong with her? It was a lot. And I didn't know. And also because we were shooting in Vancouver, we were protected from a lot of, it was before TMZ, before Twitter, sure, before anything, right? So we were in this bubble and then coming down award show, award show, award show, award show, win, win, win. And I did not know how to handle it. And even to the point where I don't know what the sequence of things were, but I, one year I ended up, and it actually might have been for that episode in season three, but I won the SAG, the Golden Globe, and the Emmy. And the last one, I realized that I hadn't mentioned my family. And so I can't remember whether it was which one it was. It might have been the SAGs, but I only talked about my family and didn't talk about my reps or David or whatever. And there was an uproar, and I had to take out an ad in Variety or something apologizing for. But that's where my brain, I just don't know. I've never known these things. Right. And I have a tendency to be really inappropriate and to tell the truth and to run off at the mouth and to say what the shit is, what the facts are. And that either people go, oh, that's just Jillian, or they go, oh my God, can you believe she fucking did that?
Can you believe she was honest?
Yeah.
Publicly?
Yeah.
Shouldn't we be? I don't know.
Anyway, so it's It's all good.
Good. Good. Were you and David, did you kind of share the experience of the success of the show, or did you guys kind of like, you know, like go off a little bit in your own corners?
Well, it's weird because we've talked about it since then, about the opportunity that we had to, you know, because we were the only two people who were going through the same thing at the same time. But I think that something had wedged itself in there at some point that kind of had us on different sides of the planet for a little while. So through a lot of that, there were moments where we were together in it, and a lot of where we were on not. Just
yeah.
not.
Yeah.
And it's a shame. And we've talked about the fact, you know, in private and in public, about what a shame it was that we didn't utilize that.
Well, this is why X-Files 2015, a second yeah. chance
yeah.
to really go back in there and now share the experience.
Pantsuits are much more flattering now.
But you guys...
You look great.
That'd be hilarious.
I'm just talking about jeans and pantsuits.
Yeah, I know. Who is this guy?
Yeah, I don't know. He just started showing up.
I know. Yeah.
That'd be funny if Daniel Scully's wardrobe hadn't changed since the 90s and everyone else around her. Yeah. They're like, yeah, she still wears the pantsuits, but because she thinks like, no, this is how like people respond to the pantsuit.
Yeah.
So this is psychologically how that works. But I'm very excited to see you in a bunch of stuff, and I'm glad that
Will you watch The Fall? Will you guys do me a favor?
Yes, it's on Netflix, right?
Yeah, so mm-hmm. you can get first season. Second season starts next week, or is available from next Friday the 16th.
Isn't that weird? The second season, all of the second season, just available now. Yeah. So The Fall and The Book is out now. The Book is out?
The book's been out. But The Fall, I mean, that's what I'm here.
You're really promoting The Fall, yeah.
Promoting The Fall. And,
great.
And it's good.
Good.
I have to say, it's one of my favorite things I've ever done.
And then back to London. Now, I've heard you speak with your American accent and then with the British accent. Mm-hmm. Which do you prefer? Situational?
It's not really a preference. It's literally impossible for me not to slip into it when I'm there. I mean, it was my first language. You know,
right.
We moved there when I was two, and I was a British girl, you know, when I moved to the States. And so it feels, it's just completely second nature. But I don't think that there isn't a preference. It just is what it is.
Where you are, right? It's like wherever you are.
Yeah.
Where is it? Where'd you go? Grand Rapids? Did I read that? Grand Rapids?
Yeah, you did.
Like London, London to Grand Rapids?
Yep. Yes, sirree, Bob.
That's some Grand Rapids lingo,
hence,
right there.
Hence the mohawk and the nose ring, and yeah.
Oh, that's rad.
That's how I dealt with Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Did your daughter ever go through a mohawk nose ring phase, or because
she's got a nose ring?
But because you're a cool, I don't know, I would imagine you're a pretty cool mom, so she's probably
we
doesn't
both
really...
got the, so we both got tattoos a couple years ago. Both got the same tattoo.
Germs
what?
Tattoo, right?
What?
Germs tattoo, right?
The germs?
Is that a germs tattoo?
It's the germs logo.
No fucking way. Are you serious?
Right down your hand.
I did not know that. That makes it even cooler, I have to say.
She's super hip.
I did know that. I'm just... Yes, it's the germs tattoo. Of course it is. What else could it be? I ran into Chris Martin the other day, and he has a tattoo in this exactly the same spot, a circle. And but we had that moment of like, oh my god, oh my god, and then I thought he totally is gonna think that I got it because I saw his in a picture. He's gonna think that actually I'm his stalker.
He's just a huge X-Files fan.
Yeah.
It could be the other way around.
He is actually. He used to come and visit set. You know, we had a crazy group of who was the lead singer of Smashing Pumpkins?
Billy Corgan.
Billy, he was a massive. He used to come and hang out.
Really?
He used to come to the set and hang out. Yeah.
Just be
He was a big
fan.
Why
is that somehow not surprising?
Foo Fighters.
Dave Grohl.
He was in an episode. I did a talk show in the UK, and we were both on, and we got to have that conversation. I used to have a big crush on him. And we got to have that conversation. He came in and he did. He had a walk on. He wore like khaki pants and a what do you call it? Like a
cardigan.
A down, like a puffer jacket.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Like Dave Grohl in khakis and a puffer jacket and a ponytail.
Great. He'll reprise that role in 2015.
Blink and it's gone.
I mean, it's totally going to be fun.
Yeah, we had some really cool fans.
But until hashtag X-Files 2015.
X-Files, remember, don't put a dash in. Don't put a dash in there.
It's just all the way through. Hashtag X-Files 2015. Okay. Every major publication, every minor publication, every publication should print that it's in process.
What's your listenership?
It's in several hundred thousand people.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah, that's not bad. It'd be good, you know. It's enough.
Oh, we get up there.
It's enough. It's enough to get it going. It'll be enough.
Yeah.
If we could fucking get X-Files on the air, I would. I don't know what I would do. I don't know what I would do.
We'd have to burn this podcast to the ground and salt this earth so that nothing may grow in its place.
Nothing else, because that would be it. That would ultimately be it. Let me tell you something. At the end of last year, we podcasted Paul McCartney, and we're doing Bill Gates next week. Mm-hmm. But this would be, I think, this would be the accomplishment.
Above that? Can you get Bill Gates to weigh in about whether he thinks we should do it?
I'm going
to
fucking ask him. I'm going to ask Bill Gates. Bill, what do you think we there's a grassroots campaign going on right now, Bill.
Just ask every guest we have from now on until it happens.
I'm going to get Bill. I'm going to start getting people.
Can he fund it? Can you ask Bill Gates if he can fund X-Files 2015?
He's giving money to needy people.
Just in case Fox doesn't have enough, because you know they're going to have to.
Yeah, they're going to have to pony
up.
They're going to have to pony up. I think I'm going to start getting people at the end of the podcast to say hashtag X-Files 2015.
Yeah, of course. That's what you need
to do.
We'll
get Bill Gates to do it.
We'll have fucking Ethan Hawke do it in 6 hours.
Okay, great. We're good.
Who are you doing in 6 hours?
Ethan Hawke?
Yeah, Ethan Hawke.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, you're going to be there too. Yeah. All right, good. So you can prep him on hashtag X-Files 2015. But are you on social media that people can put you in, tag you and stuff?
Yeah, I don't do it myself. Okay. There's a girl in San Francisco who does it for me when there's I usually only do it when it's related to like charity stuff or obnoxious things. But yeah.
Great.
At Jillian A.
At Jillian A. Okay, perfect. That's the official account.
Is it? That's what it is, right? Yeah, I don't know. I think it is.
Check out the Dukes. Let's tag the Dukes in there, too.
Yeah,
at Jillian A.
What's the Dukes?
David Duchovny. That's what I just started calling him just now.
You just invented that?
That's really clever.
Yeah, the Dukes.
Yeah.
You can start calling him that.
Thanks.
You can have that, Jillian.
I thought you were talking about Bo and Luke Duke.
I call him Double D.
Double D!
That's not bad.
Double D is good.
But the Dukes, come on. Yeah.
He can have a lot of nicknames.
He's great.
It doesn't matter.
Mr. Jeans.
Speedo. This has been so much fun. I'm so glad that you came on.
I don't think ever in my life have I talked so much about X-Files. Normally it's like, okay, maybe one or two questions we can talk about X-Files, but then let's move on to like...
Well, I hope you don't mind.
No, it's been great.
Oh, good. Because from my point of view, I felt bad. I'm like, oh, she's probably talking about fucking X-Files until she doesn't want to even...
I haven't talked about it in like years. That's so not true. But it has been fun.
Well, when I see you at Comic-Con in San Diego this summer announcing...
Oh my god. Can we get a hold of Chris Carter and just get him on board this whole thing? I'm sure he's fine. I'm sure he's on board.
We'll figure it out. We'll
doesn't he own a good chunk of the show?
We'll figure it out.
Let's figure this out.
Okay, this is all the boring stuff. Networks are essentially run by their marketing divisions now.
Yeah.
So if marketing division sees that there's enough social interest, if there's enough chatter, then the marketing people will then go to the network, like the creative executives, and go, hey, all this research, this data suggests that this is something that we should look into. And then the creative execs will then, this is the television chess game, then the creative execs will go, oh, well, it seems that Jillian and David and Chris Carter are all on board. Mitch Pileggi got sawed in half on a magic show a while ago.
No, he would just tell you how it happened.
Yeah, exactly. But
that was the beauty of it.
But so once they hear that all those things are in place, then they go, then it starts to happen. What if all of a sudden there was a puff of smoke and Mitch showed up with a top hat and a cape? Like, did someone say magic? That would be amazing.
Oh, God.
All right. So, everyone, thank you, Jillian Anderson, for being here. Thank you, Chewbacca, for lending us your pelt. Enjoy your burrito and hashtag, hashtag X-Files 2015.
You're hilarious.
Thank you so much.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
For more than two centuries, the White House has been the stage for some of the most dramatic scenes in American history. Inspired by the hit podcast American History Tellers, Wondery and William Morrow present the new book, The Hidden History of the White House. Each chapter will bring you inside the fierce power struggles, the world-altering decisions, and shocking scandals that have shaped our nation. You'll be there when the very foundations of the White House are laid in 1792, and you'll watch as the British burn it down in 1814. Then you'll hear the intimate conversations between FDR and Winston Churchill as they make plans to defeat Nazi forces in 1941. And you'll be in the Situation Room when President Barack Obama approves the raid to bring down the most infamous terrorist in American history. Pre-order The Hidden History of the White House now in hardcover or digital editions wherever you get your books.